Can you state your full name for me?
Irma Scott Bridgewater.
Okay. You work at the city of Champaign for 24 years, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell me what kind of work did you do there?
Throughout the 24 years, I was first at Douglas Center, director of Douglas Center, and then later on I went back to the city in community development, or rather urban renewal first and then community development. So I've been in two different jobs.
Okay. How long have you been retired?
Since 1982.
When you were younger, what did you want to become in life?
Well, I started out and I said I wanted to be a PE teacher when I was in high school. But I went on to the university and took PE. And I wasn't as good as I thought I was going to be, so I changed to sociology.
So you wanted to be a PE teacher because you was really good at PE?
Yeah, because really I don't know. I just thought that was something I wanted to do.
How did your education help prepare you for what you did for a living?
Well, my degree was in sociology. And soon after I finished, they had the School of Social Work began. But in sociology helped me in everything. Of course, I went into recreation, and it helped me there. I didn't have any courses in recreation when I started.
You said, looking back in the information you gave in a different interview, you stated you forgot you had a degree up in sociology.
No, what I meant there was, I guess is what you're talking about, is I went to work at Douglas Center as director. Now, the people that were there at the time were working WPA, Works Progress Administration. And I was coming to them not knowing anything about recreation. And I was from the other side of town, from the south, because we lived on Ells Avenue, and with a degree. And I just was not accepted because I was from the other side of the tracks and all that, and had been to college, had a degree. So I learned the way they treated me was an advantage in the end, and I was glad because it made me realize that I had to learn how to get along with people. And it was a good lesson, and as I said, I had to swallow that degree and forget that I ever had it, I ever got it, in order to get along with. Because one of the first things that happened was they were in the habit of having a breakfast together there at the center. And the center at that time was a house, six-room house. They were in the habit of having breakfast together on a Saturday morning. Well, I didn't know that, and I had already had breakfast. So when they asked me if I'd like to eat with them, I said, no, I'd had breakfast. So then the attitude was, she won't even eat with us. So I learned to, it helped me because, for instance, the director, after all, everybody that was there knew recreation. They knew what they were doing. I didn't. I was just, there over them and employed by the city of Champaign when they were employed through WPA. So in all the areas, I was not very much liked. So, as I say, I swallowed my degree and got along with everybody after that.
Okay. I understand you were born in 1930. Can you give me... I mean
1913. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm thinking about when you graduated from college. No. Okay. Can you give me an example of how it was being a young African American growing up in Champaign, Urbana?
Well, living on in the south part of Champaign, we went at that time. We went to neighborhood schools, and my brother and I were the only ones in the school. We went to Lincoln School, which is now an apartment building on the corner of State Street and Healy. And it was integrated. We integrated it, I guess you might say, because it's just the two of us. But we got along fairly well. I played with white children that were in the neighborhood, because they were in the neighborhood that I lived in. For social things, we went, our church was Bethel Church in this end of town. So I'd say it was an advantage. There were some times when things weren't quite as nice as they might have been, but then I got a good education there.
Okay. Can you tell me how you felt, like what feelings came across you and what came across your mind when every time you walked up into Lincoln School, knowing that you and your brother was the only two blacks?
There were problems like during games, nobody would want to, they wouldn't want to hold my hand. But the teachers were, understood the problem, and they would find some other way to solve it.
Can you give me some examples of when y'all played games, like an example?
Well, there was one game where we held hands in a line, and the person, the other side, we had sides. The other side would run to break through, and that was one of those games where they didn't want to hold hands hands with me. But some games I played, and some didn't. Some I watched.
Other than the games, other than them not wanting to hold hands in the games and stuff, how are you treated on a normal basis in school?
Well, you know, there were children there from whose parents were teachers at the university. I remember one or two of them. It seemed that those children treated me much better than some of the others, Well, I guess it was a difference in class in a way. But anyhow, it was. Of course, being a child, you just play with whoever will play with you, and you just go on from there.
Yeah, I feel. I know you graduated in the 1930s, but exactly what year did you graduate from college?
1937.
And you said that your degree was up in
sociology. Mm-hmm.
What was your first job when you graduated out of college?
My first job was a maid at Newman Hall.
What got you into that? Were you pressured into it?
Well, I looked for a job and couldn't find any, and that my mother was working there at Newman Hall, and I felt like I had to help repay my parents for the money they'd spent for me to go to school. So I got a job there and worked, I think it was a couple of years. I didn't want to leave town. I didn't want to leave Champaign. I don't know whether because I was scared or what, but I never wanted to leave. I always wanted to stay here. So eventually I did, with my dad's help. He knew some people. And I was able to get another job.
What was some experience being a maid at Newman Hall?
Well, there was a woman. The thing, I guess, that bothered me most was there was a woman there that was head of it, who always, my paycheck always, well, we had, well, I think it was $1.60 an hour we were making then. And every time I got my pay, some of the money was gone. It seemed that she would take some money out of it because she figured that she was teaching us, you know, teaching us how to, well, she did teach, and she did. But then that part always bothered me. And she let my mother go, and I don't know why she thought I'd stay there after she did that, but I quit.
What were some of the expectations that your parents had for you?
My dad was employed at the university as a mail carrier. And my parents, they didn't ask me if I wanted to go to college. They just took it for granted that I was going, and I always understood that that was what I was supposed to do. So I was expected to go to college.
Okay. You stated you went to Bethel Church.
Mm-hmm.
What role did church play in your life?
Well, a pretty big role, because, well, in the earlier years, that was about the only thing to do. At Bethel, we had Sunday school in the afternoon, on Sunday afternoon, and that was the place to go on Sunday, and then go to Baptist Church, BYPU, to see the boys.
Did you feel you got a good education?
Yeah, I did. I mean, I was exposed to a good one. Now, I was an average student. I wasn't an A or B student. I was average.
I mean, like, when, how they treated you in school with not playing games, did that distract you from any of your work?
No. No, one of the things I was thinking about today, that being the only black child there helped me in some ways. One of the things I remember, the teacher would call on different people to read, and there were some kids that didn't read very well, and that was one of the things I decided I really wanted. I didn't want them to feel bad when it came my time to read, because if you're reading a story, you know, and then you get to somebody that has to be told every two or three words, then it takes the fun out of it. So I didn't want to be one of those people. So I spent my time learning to read, and I liked spelling.
Were there any other subjects you liked in school?
Music. We had a music teacher who came from, you know, went from one school to another. And I had some music, of course, at home. My father played an instrument. And, of course, I liked music, and I was always glad when she came.
I read that you were good at music. Can you tell me some bad experiences?
One of the things that happened with the music was we had music appreciation, where we learned who the authors, the composers of the music was, and so on, the whole string of things about a piece, and then the teacher would play just a part of one, and we were to write down what it was and so on. We had a contest there at Lincoln School, and I got I was passed on. I did well on it, or had a perfect paper, and went on to the next stage, which was from where all the different schools were together. And anybody who passed that was to go on to the state. But the only mistake they found on my paper was they said I had an extra hump on a M. And maybe I did, I don't know. But anyhow, I wasn't allowed to go. And, of course, I always felt like there was another reason why I didn't get to go.
Right then and there, how did you feel? Did you feel...
Well, naturally, I felt bad about it. But then my parents were the kind of people, say, that were, you know, just don't pay attention to it. Just go on.
Some other people stated in other interviews how their teachers, their counselors didn't really encourage them. Did you feel that way?
That was in high school. Yeah, counselors did not, well, let's see how I put it. When we were given our schedules, or to parents to help us with our schedules, to take them home, and the parents would help us with our schedules. Well, they would tell us not to take college preparatory courses. They didn't say it that way, but they would say that we couldn't, they didn't feel like we could pass algebra or geometry. And my parents had decided I was going to college, so they always signed up for me to take those courses, and I took French, too. And I passed it. I have no great shakes, but I did pass. But they didn't encourage us to take college preparatory courses.
Okay, I also remember from another interview when a person stated that they once felt that the counselors was right. Did you ever feel that way?
The counselor was right?
Yeah, about y'all not taking college.
No, they were wrong.
So you always felt they were wrong?
Yeah. My parents did too, because they always said I had to go ahead and take the courses.
Were there... things that happened to you in school that shaped how you view people of other races?
Okay, stop for a minute. You know, this blower's come back on now, so we should really wait till it goes back up, because we won't be able to use the different parts of the interview because it sounds really differently. So we went off earlier, so this is a good point to stop. And can you hear the difference here? It's very different, isn't it? So it was in the very beginning when you were talking, then it went off pretty quickly, and it just stayed off until now. I think maybe it's like probably going to be on for 5 or 10 minutes, right? You think? I think you should.
Come on the ball in here. On the machine.
What's that?
Come on the ball in here or come with
it? No, the heat.
Okay.
Can you hear that coming out again? Mm-hmm. It's just really... It's just going to sound like we won't be able to use it.
Good questions. Good plug.
No, you should hit pause and stop.
Were there things that that happened to you in school that shaped how you viewed other people? I mean, people of other races.
Let's see.
That's not going to erase what we already have, is it?
No.
It'll just add it to the end, even though the time goes different?
Yeah, we can test it just like that, but it should Every time it starts, it should go to the, to another section.
Okay. Even though it says a multiple takes creating the video. Mm-hmm. Is that what that means? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Re-ask the question.
Yeah.
Were there things that happened to you in school that shaped how you viewed other races?
I don't know that I've thought about that.
Like, were there, like, experience you had, like, you stated the games and stuff, but were there deeper, like, badder experiences that you had that shaped how you felt about other people of other races?
I don't remember any in particular.
Were there any good memories?
Yeah, I've had good friends. I haven't associated with too many people other than white people. I don't remember.
So Caucasians was basically the people you hung out with most.
Yeah, in my earlier years, grade school.
Which school experiences or outside of school experiences shaped your understanding of segregation and integration? You stated how you and your brother integrated the school, mm-hmm. basically. Was that one of the experiences that shaped your understanding of it?
There was an incident at, I had told you about the swimming.
Mm-hmm.
But in university, I had an instructor who, she was an English teacher. And there were two of us in the class, another girl and I. And she was seating the class. She had us all stand around the wall, everybody standing around the wall, and she started seating us alphabetically. The other girl's name was Barbie. It started with a B. And she passed by her name. And when she got to mine, it started with S, she passed by it. And it was left, we were left, the two of us were left standing. And then she seated us. Well, it was embarrassing, of course, and everybody looking around at us, wondering, what happened to us. So I told my dad about it. He was at the university at that time. And he went to Mr. Lee, who worked in the president's office. Mr. Lee spoke to the president, and the president called in the head of the department, and he called in the person, the teacher. So it got all the way around, and she called us in. Well, I needed the course I was in LANS, so I had to take it. So I had to learn, I had to get along with the lady. But she said that her excuse was that there are a lot of things that she would like to do that she's not able to do. And she brought up one thing that I never did understand. She said one thing that disturbed her was that she didn't know how to play a harp, and she didn't know what would happen to her when she got to heaven. Well, the way she was acting, I wasn't so sure she was going to get there. But anyhow, that did, it made me realize that some people aren't as nice as they should be. And, of course, there were other things that happened. At that time, there was no place for us to eat on campus. And there was a man that had a wagon there near the library where he sold apples and candy. So I would buy a candy bar and apple and go in the library restroom to eat. So there were things that happened. And when we went to the theaters, we had to sit up in the balcony. But we did what we... Sometimes we objected to some of those things. Finally, they have changed more or less.
You just stated how in the theaters you had to sit up in the balcony. How did that go?
Well, it wasn't too good. We were expected to go clear up to the top of the balcony, for instance, in the Virginia. And the ushers would leave, and of course we'd move down. Eventually moved down as, you know, and they didn't want to bother to make us go back up because that was more trouble than letting us alone. But, and at times now, when I go to a theater, I still go to the back. At one of the theaters, what is now the Art Theater, it was Park, we had to sit down in the front row right up into the picture. So those are things that happened then that fortunately have changed.
Okay, in other interviews, they also stated about how the AME Church helped the community. Do you remember about the AME Church and what they did for the community?
They had a playground that was on Ells Avenue, right across the street from where we lived. And they had tennis and softball games that were played there. And then they had an orchestra with the Sunday school, which was different than some of the other churches had. They had a library or books where they loaned out books someplace on University Avenue, but I don't know exactly where that was. But that's a few of the things that I can remember.
How was it like going to the U of I in the 1930s?
Well, as I said, there was no place to eat on campus. Some of the men's students worked on campus, served meals in some of the sororities and fraternities, and were able to get their own meals that way. I don't know. We stayed pretty much to ourselves. The fraternities and sororities had parties, and that's where the fun came in.
Did you like any sports?
Did I take part? I didn't take part in any sports. Not until, well, can't say that. When I was working at Douglas Center, I wasn't active in it, in the sports, but I was with the boys and girls that were active in sports. But I haven't. The only sport I've been active in was swimming.
Tiara, do you have any questions? Does anybody have any follow-up questions?
I want to ask you a question. Mrs. Bridgewater had talked to you about the swimming pool when she told you that were you recording, or was that a story that was off tape?
Which one?
The swimming pool. She had mentioned that. Were you recording then?
Yeah, she recorded about that, didn't she?
Yeah, because we were standing up, and then we sat down, and we had the same conversation.
Right. So the swimming pool they're getting?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I want to ask, the school that do you know anything about Mrs. Bridgewater's junior high or high school experience, and was it different or similar to?
Oh, in the other interview, you stated that you went to Edison.
Yeah, Edison School was the high school at when I was... That was the only high school when I was going to school.
Was that segregated or desegregated?
It was desegregated, except that most of the black kids came from this area, and I imagine they still do it. They went in the door on the east side, and the other kids went to the front door on Green Street. And that got to be a habit with all of us, I guess. But it was normal. I mean, after all, you're coming from this way, and so you go into the east door.
That's how.
And
it
if you come from someplace else, you come up into the other door. But that was senior high school at that time.
Yeah,
and then when my kids went to school, it was junior high. And it was, what, 7th, 8th, 9th grades when they were in there.
So Edison was the high school.
Yeah.
Well,
it was the only high school.
What junior high school did you attend?
Well, we had 8th grade. I went to Lincoln School 1st through 7th. Okay. Then the 8th grade was downtown, Central School, they call it.
Central.
It was in a building near where the old post office is, on Randolph Street. That was the 8th grade. And then we went on to high school.
Was the 8th grade segregated or integrated?
No, it was integrated.
Okay. How was it like going?
Well, you see, I went to integrated schools all the way through. My children didn't. They went to Washington, Willard and Lawhead, and then went to Edison. So their experience was a little different, but then they survived it all right.
Yeah, we heard stories about Willard and Lawhead. Did your kids come home with any problems when they were attending their school?
No, I don't. Not especially. One of the things that was happening at that time was I stayed at home until they were all in school. Then I went back to work. And when they got out of school, they came to Douglas Center. So I really had a break there because I didn't have to have sitters or anything. Because they were in the programs at Douglas.
Any more questions?
Those were neighborhood schools, so what was it like to have the kids go to neighborhood schools?
I liked it. And as a matter of fact, when they changed, when they started busing the kids out to other schools, I said that if they were going to make this Washington magnet school, I wish they had done it and left the kids in it. But that I realize that's selfish, but they would have helped them more than being scattered out all over, some of them, in schools where they weren't getting along or weren't wanted or something or other.
So you think busing hurt?
Yeah.
Or not as advantageous to black kids as folks thought it was going to be?
You're right. I don't think it was.
Okay.
I have one more question. If you had a message for young African American kids today, what would it be?
Go to school. Stay in there. Finish.
Hang in there, huh?
Hang in there.
Christian, thank you for being mm-hmm. here. It was yeah. nice meeting you.
Nice seeing you too.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.